I'm Ann Agee, the CIO at the University of Massachusetts Boston, and with me is Balasundaram, who's the chair of our physics department here at UMass Boston, and also engaged in research that is very computationally intensive. He is the coordinator for our high-performance computing cluster. And I've asked him today to talk with me a little about what kind of support researchers and scholars need from IT, particularly in areas such as the ones that he's interested in.
All right. Well, thank you, Anne. And I decided that in thinking about this, I would take off from the paragraph that you'd sent me that defined the issue. And in particular, there were two things I noted when I read through that, and one of which, of course, which is states correctly, is the fact that high-performance computing and the need for computing and associated resources, whether it's visualization or data processing, data analysis, retrieval, databases, extends beyond the traditional disciplines, by which I mean the scientific and the engineering disciplines, and extends well into the social sciences and the behavioral sciences and so on. So this was one thing that struck me in the statement, and when I thought about it, and especially in the context of the needs from central IT or the IT support needs, a caveat that's necessary, I think, to go with this is really the fact that the support necessary in order to engage this community is somewhat greater than the support necessary to engage the more traditional areas, just because within the sciences and engineering, because part of it has to do with the training and part of it has to do with the longevity of use, there's a tendency to be somewhat more self-contained. And so the need for central IT versus localized IT is somewhat different. And I wanted to sort of preface some of the discussion that we're going to have with that statement. The second thing this also relates to is the fact that in the context of small and medium institutions, the fact that you can't necessarily have a very large, you don't have the resources necessary to put in a large infrastructure in place, efficiency then takes over rather than numbers alone. And so it becomes the balance is somewhat different. So anyway, I in some way is a way to sort of preface my thinking when I was approaching this question. So what are the needs? So I think the needs are different depending on the communities that you're dealing with. So let's start from the traditional communities. When it came to small and medium institutions, when you had, before desktop supercomputing became so prevalent, and this primarily started with the Beowulf cluster idea, you really had regional centers and you had national centers like the supercomputing centers. And there you typically applied for resources and you had a variety of allocations that were possible. In many ways, this allowed the IT needs of small and medium institutions to be outsourced to these regional centers. That is no longer true. Many of these regional centers are actually having a crisis of identity, and more supercomputing needs are being met by local clusters and local communities. Quite often, it could be shared resources across communities. I mean, as you know, as you are well aware of, in the area of bioinformatics, there's a consortium that's in place in Boston, and you can actually buy into the consortium. So these sorts of smaller clusters are now becoming more prevalent, and part of it has to do with, as I said, the price point when it comes to supercomputing resources. What this has done is increase the need for support at the local level.
What kinds of support specifically?
That depends on the type of application. So if we take the scientific and engineering technological areas, for example, most of the users there in terms of their needs are very different. So, for example, many of them need specialized, they don't necessarily need specialized software, for example. However, they may need support when it comes to accessing the best out of the hardware. So, give you a specific example, you might build a Beowulf cluster where the rating goes all the way up to several teraflops. However, to extract the few teraflops as opposed to just getting less than one, you might have to reprogram or rewrite your program in order to take advantage of that. And that quite often requires specialized skills, which fall outside the usual training even within the more technical areas. This, of course, is very different from the needs of social science applications, economics management, or databases, or even bioinformatics, because there, the databases themselves might be something you buy into. And so it's a software maintenance and teaching people how to actually use the software to access the databases that becomes more important. So the support framework for that is very, very different from, and that shows up in the types of people you may have to hire. For example, in the case of the supercomputing centers that used to exist, or they do exist, but they were the predominant method of choice for high-performance computing, they typically had scientific expertise, quite often derived from people with PhDs in disciplines, who actually form the support core for that community. On the other hand, they had a different community that dealt with access and software support. And, of course, the investment in terms of resources is tremendous under those circumstances, and typically outside the purview of small and medium universities. So this is what makes this question an interesting question, is how exactly do you balance this? Because when it comes to research at small and medium universities, the ability to access, for example, external grant funding quite often is predicated on centralized resources that are provided by the institution. And the absence of those these resources essentially diminish your chances of getting these grants. And so it really is a trade-off between an investment both in the immediate and the long-term future. Here, the way we've got around that to a certain extent is we have a fairly active user community. And so we've got a user group that people post problems that they have, and someone else responds to it, either because they know of a solution or know of someone who has a solution. So that's one way we sort of get around the specialized support that's necessary. On the other hand, when it comes to issues like software licenses, then we do rely on central IT, and that is an issue when that comes up. And so there's a balance that need to be struck, and quite often that's predicated by the available resources. Mm-hmm.
So how could the IT organization, do more to collaborate with the researchers so that there's more awareness, like on the question of software licenses or other things? What could we do to make sure that we're getting that information? And
I think there has to be a constant dialogue between the two communities, and not just, and it has to be fairly regular, in order to gauge changing needs and priorities. This happens, for example, there are software surveys that are conducted, but the difficulty really is software surveys conducted at an institution that has an established research framework as opposed to one that's got an evolving research framework. The periodicity of those have to be quite different, and I think that's really what I was getting at. And here the pulse has to be taken much more often in order to get a sense for the changing needs. The other thing, of course, is these days, if at all possible, to get into a consortial agreement when it comes to software licenses. So, for example, taking the specific example of an institution like ours, where we're part of a multi-campus system, getting system-wide licenses, if at all possible, with a central license manager, would be a good way of doing that, because especially for specialized software, because specific campuses may only have a few users, which is insufficient to take out a bulk license, whereas multi-campuses, you may actually reach that quorum. So,
great. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that insight, and I'm sure our listeners will be happy to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.